You're listening to That's What They Say on Michigan Public.
There's the hair on our heads and the hairs in our yards. And there has been some confusion about which hair is the hair in the expression harebrained.
That's what they say. I'm Rebecca Kruth, and here with us now is University of Michigan English professor Ann Curzan. Hey there, Ann.
Hello.
Today we've got a question from Susie. Susie says, just today I used the term hide nor hair, as in I haven't seen hide nor hair of the neighbors. Do you know where this term comes from? Do you know, Ann?
I do. And Rebecca, is this a phrase that you use?
Definitely. And I even know which hair it's supposed to be.
And which hair is it?
The hair on your head.
That's exactly right. This is the hair on your head. Hide is an Old English word referring to the skin of animals. And hide nor hair, or hide or hair, is old. We've got it back to at least the 1300s. It looks like it could be used more literally to refer to, for example, children of fair hide and hair. And then by the 1400s, this pairing, hide or hair, or hide and hair, or hide nor hair, means entirely or wholly. By the 19th century, we have examples exactly like what Susie wrote to us about. I haven't seen hide nor hair of whatever, which means I have seen nothing whatsoever. We could think of it as we can't even find a strand of hair or a little bit of skin. And we'll see it with the verb see. I can't find hide nor hair. I haven't heard hide nor hair. When you look in the databases, I was interested to find that you can also now see examples such as this. I can't make hide nor hair of what she's doing. Rebecca, how does that sound to you?
I could totally use this one too, and it means I can't make any sense, none whatsoever, of what she's doing.
I could as well, and I think that's a great paraphrase of none whatsoever. That's what hide nor hair means there. Now, Rebecca, I will say that in the process of looking at hide nor hair, I went down a bit of a rabbit hole.
I see what you did there.
And here we go with harebrained, because we have had historically a question there of which hair this is. Rebecca, what do you think?
Okay, so I know which one it is now, but I used to think that it was the hair on your head, but it's not. It's the bunny. But I thought that made sense, though, because if you're harebrained, meaning that you're, instead of a brain, you've just got a head filled with hair, so you're foolish and, you know, can't make smart decisions.
I love this, Rebecca. And that is exactly what happened with this term, is people started to interpret it the way you did, which is hair for brains.
It makes sense. It makes total sense.
It absolutely does. It's not where it started. It started as a mean comparison to rabbits. So as you noted, the term harebrained as an adjective is usually applied to someone to say they're being foolish, sometimes reckless, a harebrained scheme. Now, it is worth noting here, Rebecca, that early on, you also had the noun harebrain.
Now, that one I don't think I've heard or used.
I haven't either. You can still find it in dictionaries. We mostly see harebrained as an adjective, and it was originally spelled H-A-R-E, brained. Definitely not very kind to the hairs, probably reflecting the small size of a rabbit's brain.
A bunny brain.
A bunny brain. Sometimes people say it's also about the quote-unquote senseless behavior that hairs exhibit during mating season, but that doesn't seem fair to just hold hairs accountable for that. You get the earliest spellings with H-A-R-E, but quickly you also see spellings with H-A-I-R, which is because hair, the rabbit, could also be spelled with an I, especially in Scottish spelling, and speakers also started to reinterpret this as hair for brains. So many dictionaries now will include both spellings as standard.
Well, Anne, I hope the rest of your day is free of harebrained schemes. Make good decisions.
I will do my very best.
Anne Curzan is an English professor at the University of Michigan and the author of Says Who, a kinder, funner usage guide for everyone who cares about words. We look at the evolution of language Friday afternoons at 4:45 and Sunday mornings at 9:35 here on Michigan Public. You can also subscribe to the show wherever you get your podcasts. And if you've got a language question for us, email us at language@michiganpublic.org.